Thanks ever so much for joining us for this week's Tech Law 10. I'm Jonathan Armstrong. I'm speaking to you here from Old London Town. And Eric, you're somewhere sunnier.
Well, perhaps. It's a little foggy and there's a little blue sky poking through here and there. This is Eric Sinrod, Jonathan's partner in crime, not really, in San Francisco. And we're here for Tech Law 10 this week.
And this week, you've been looking at a subject that I have to say most European lawyers won't really understand, the ECPA. We know a bit about the FCPA, but tell us about the ECPA and some case that you've just had over there.
The ECPA, say that 10 times fast. This stands for the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. I sometimes call it ECPA. But in any event, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, that's the federal appellate court here in the United States for the Western United States, and it's frankly the largest of our federal appeals courts, just ruled that the emails of foreigners on domestic servers can be protected under ECPA. So let me try to walk you through this a little bit. There was this case called Suzlon Energy Limited versus Microsoft Corporation that went up to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal. And the Ninth Circuit came down with a ruling on October 3rd, so quite recently, holding that foreigners can be protected by ECPA. Namely, those parts of the ECPA that prevent ISPs from revealing electronic communications apply to foreigners when the emails in question are stored on a domestic server. So here, the plaintiff company had directed a subpoena to Microsoft seeking the substance of emails between a citizen of India having to do with fraud litigation in Australia. Microsoft chose not to comply with the subpoena, taking the position that to do so would violate the ECPA. The federal trial court found merit in that position and quashed the subpoena, meaning that Microsoft's compliance with the subpoena was not necessary. So the matter proceeded on appeal to the Ninth Circuit, and a unanimous appellate panel decided that the statutory language of the ECPA extends its protections to the Indian citizen of that particular case. The Ninth Circuit reasoned that if Congress had intended to limit the application of the statute to citizens of the United States only, Congress would have done so explicitly, and it did not. The Ninth Circuit also stated that limiting the ECPA only to U.S. citizens could cause practical problems. An ISP would have to go about the difficult task, for example, of trying to ascertain whether or not a particular account holder was a U.S. citizen or not. The Ninth Circuit was clear that the ECPA governs, quote, at least, close quote, when the requested information is stored on servers within the United States. In this case, the emails in question were housed on Microsoft's U.S. servers. But the Ninth Circuit made it plain that it was not considering whether the ECPA could apply to information stored outside the U.S. And indeed, 2 years ago, another Ninth Circuit panel concluded that the ECPA does not govern email interceptions beyond the U.S., and that was a case called Zhang versus Yahoo, decided by the Ninth Circuit on December 2nd, 2009. So obviously, this is an important and developing area of the law. We need to stay tuned for further developments, and I'd be interested, Jonathan, in your take on this from your side of the pond.
Yeah, so let me get this straight. If I'm conducting a fraud investigation, let's say from the U.K., and I want to get at some emails that somebody else, an ISP, might hold, my first step now is to work out where the server's based. Because if the server is based in the US, then ECPA might mean that I can't see the emails, whereas if the server, let's say, is based here or in the Netherlands, let's say, for example, then ECPA won't apply. Is that it in a nutshell, is it?
That's somewhat of a nutshell, although this particular Ninth Circuit panel in this case, which is more recent, sort of hedged its bets. It basically said, you know, we're deciding this particular issue right now, and the issue before us is what happens when you're dealing with the emails of foreigners on, you know, housed on domestic U.S. servers. In that case, yes, the ECPA protections apply. We're not answering the question, what about email stored on servers elsewhere? And I simply pointed out there was an earlier Ninth Circuit decision that indicated that perhaps ECPA would not apply there, but this Ninth Circuit panel more recently kind of dodged the issue. But I think your interpretation is a fair one when you put the two cases together.
Yeah, because this is interesting, isn't it, in that it's an Indian, the email requested was from an Indian citizen, and it was an Australian case, obviously touching an American ISP. So I suppose it illustrates a lot of these principles that we've been talking about over the years of how, well, it seems like years, we're into our 40-something podcast now, that the law is international, isn't it? Or at least the practice of things like internal investigations is international, and the law has to play catch-up. I mean, I guess from my point of view, it's just an added complexity whenever you're dealing with civil discovery, for example, or an internal investigation, that you're now going to have to look more closely at where the server is located. I mean, I guess one of the practical effects as well will be that perhaps there's going to be an element of forum shopping in cases like this. If I've got, obviously for most emails, there's a sender, a recipient, and copies. One of the things that we've talked about before, I guess, is the danger of copying too many people into emails that they don't need to know much about. And I guess this is an added underlining of that advice, because it may be that ECPA would protect that email from disclosure, but that if there are copies on different servers in other countries, then that might undermine, mightn't it, the protection that ECPA could provide.
That's a good point. You know, this is very complicated, you're right, and you know, the difficulty is, as I think we've discussed, you know, the Internet truly knows no geographic boundaries. I mean, you know, these electronic communications, you know, just go where they will go and where they're sent and received. And then all of a sudden we have to apply laws to them in various contexts, whether it's, you know, in this context or, you know, having to do with privacy rules and the like, and which rules apply. And we're trying to divine, or the courts are trying to divine, you know, reasoning to sort of justify the application of one law or another. And it gets difficult. You know, we have this, you know, in terms of the application of state laws, you know, now laws of different countries, and we have to stay on top of this, obviously.
Now, that's a fascinating case. I suspect we'll return to these topics. I know I'm speaking at the eCrime Congress in London next week, so maybe that'll give us an opportunity to return and look at some of these issues again from a European point of view next week. I guess that's about all we've got time for. As ever, we'll go on to our LinkedIn discussion group and we'll post the citation for the case if anybody wants to have a look at that in some detail. And Eric, I think we'll post your blog on the topic as well so that people can read it at their leisure. And I guess that's about all we've got time for this week. So I'm Jonathan Armstrong. You can contact us via Twitter, Eric's on Facebook, you can contact us via LinkedIn, you can use email, which is jparmstrong@duanemorris.com. And Eric, why don't you wrap up?
Yes, and for people who are interested right now, the case is Suzlon Energy versus Microsoft, Ninth Circuit, number 10-35793, decided October 3rd, 2011. My name is Eric Sinrod. My email is ejsinrod@duanemorris.com. My findlaw.com blog is on this subject, and it should be going up today. We thank you. We believe this is our 41st Tech Law 10 podcast. Jonathan and I are even conspiring perhaps to do number 43 in 2 weeks live together in the same room from Philadelphia when we're attending our annual law firm retreat. So we'll have to see how that mixes up. Hopefully in person will be all the more riveting and not locking horns. So, but you'll have to stay tuned for that one. So with that word, we thank you for joining us and we'll speak to you again next week.
Thank you.